for Joshua chapter 7. Are you there? Got it? Okay, cool. Look at the first verse. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Do you remember that in chapter 6 they defeated Jericho? There's a song that the children sing, even some adults. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. He fought the battle of Jericho. Well, the truth is, God fought the battle of Jericho, as you recall, and the children of Israel, Joshua and the priests, and remember the priests, the ark, and then the priests, and you remember the whole situation. God fought that battle, and the battle was won by the Lord God. They marched around 6 days, once a day, and on the seventh day, seven times, and the walls, literally, the Bible says, fell flat. And so God gave them the victory. They didn't even have to find a way in. Everybody went straight from where they were standing into the city. And I'm sure you remember that. And Rahab and her whole family were saved, left alive. And what were they commanded? Jericho, the first fruits. As you enter into the promised land, the very first battle. Because the Lord God is going to give you all of the land and every bit of it. Because the Lord your God will go before you. Because the Lord your God will give you the victory. For the first fruits, which would be Jericho, the commandment was do not touch anything. None of the spoils. All this belongs to God. Whatever comes out of Jericho that belongs to God, everybody, you'll get the rest of the entire nation. But just remember, because it's the Lord God who fights the battles, the first fruits belong to the Lord. Just like when a son is born, they're dedicated to the Lord. And you remember, you can go back and read through the law. I think you remember all that. Well, that's why we get to chapter 7, verse 1, and we read the continuing story after the battle. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Who did? The children of Israel. How many of them? One. His name was Achan. But God accounted the sin to how many of them? All of them. Okay, listen, write it down. Mark it in your head somewhere. Get that into your hearts. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin in the Bible, or leaven in the Bible. Let me say it. There's a leaven in the Bible, a type of sin. It spreads. Yeast. You put it in the dough, you mix it in, and it spreads. It permeates, and it destroys is what it does. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the nation of Israel, against all the children of Israel. Isn't that amazing? We don't think that way. We really have a tendency to believe that we're an island unto ourselves. You know, and I hear quite often, whatever two consenting adults choose to do in the privacy of their own home, that's nobody else's business. Oh, but what if they're Christians, so-called Christians, or part of a fellowship? It has been said many, many times, I know that you've probably heard this saying yourself, that the worst enemy that you have, or that I have, or that we have, is ourself. You've heard that, haven't you? Your worst enemy many times turns out to be you, doesn't it? And that's because you can't get away from that one. Boy, that can be true. Self is the biggest handicap that you and I carry with us today, right now. Self. Self gets us into all kinds of trouble. We like to blame it on others or on different things, on circumstances, situations. But we all know deep down inside, it's self that got us into this one. You know, Alexander the Great is still today considered one of the greatest military commanders, one of the greatest military geniuses in all of time, in all of history. Alexander the Great, the leader of the Greek armies. And, of course, remember, became the world ruler in his early 30s. In his early 30s, he conquered the whole world. But Alexander the Great, I guess we should say the semi-great, died an alcoholic with a lot of other diseases and a lot of other problems plaguing him. What's the point? Alexander the Great conquered the world, but Alexander the Great couldn't conquer Alexander the Great. You get it? Self. One of the worst enemies that we have. The only major battle that Israel is going to lose in conquering the Promised Land is at Ai in chapter 7. The only major battle that they are going to lose is at Ai, probably the smallest battle that they had. Should have been the easiest, but they're going to be defeated. I hate to ruin the story for you, but that's what's going to happen in chapter 7. And the defeat didn't come from without. The defeat came from within. Self. One man, Achan, sinned by taking some of the spoils of the city of Jericho. Even though everyone was commanded not to touch any of it because it belonged to the Lord, he saw some robes and thought they were beautiful, saw quite a bit of money, saw his chance to get rich, ignored God's word, sinned. Verse 2 says, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel. And he spoke unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few. General Joshua does not know yet that Achan has sinned. General Joshua doesn't know that there is sin in the camp. General Joshua doesn't realize what has happened. Now the Lord is not with them. The Lord's anger is against them, and General Joshua doesn't know it. So he sends out spies. Very common tactic. We call it an advanced party. They head in and they scope out the territory. What do we need? How should we make this attack? What does it look like? How is it fortified? Tell me about it. Go out and spy it out. Check out the situation at Ai and come back and let me know. The spies returned. And this is what they said. Ai is nothing compared to Jericho. We don't even need to take our whole army. Give us 2,000 to 3,000 guys and we'll destroy this town. You know, there's no need to get everybody out there all psyched up for battle already. You know, come on. We just had this big battle, and it was 6 days of marching, and the seventh day was a long, long day. And then, of course, we had to take the whole city. So, you know what? Let's give the people, we can take this one in our street clothes. I've read in commentaries that Jericho represents the world. Well, that's true. Then there's no doubt that Ai represents the flesh. And there's another old saying. Since Ai, I believe, represents our flesh, here's another old saying, and I know that you've heard this one. Never underestimate the ability of an opponent. You've heard that, haven't you? If you haven't, you have now. You should never underestimate the ability of an opponent. Even if you look at that army or that individual or that situation and you think, not a problem, I can handle this. You should never underestimate that opponent of yours. And at the same time, never overestimate your own ability. These men were guilty of doing that very thing. Ai, kind of a small looking city. I can tell you something. They underestimated the ability of their opponents. By the way, I've read chapter 8. If you've read on ahead, you already know to send 2,000 or 3,000 men would be a major mistake because there are a little over 12,000 people in the city, and at least 5,000 of those are warriors. Now, had you stopped and really thought about it, but nobody stopped and thought about it, and you notice nobody prayed. Nobody prayed. Joshua prayed before going in the first time into Jericho. Nobody prayed. Sent the spies out. What's it look like over there? We don't even need the whole army. Take about 2,000 or 3,000, we'll go, we'll just get this job done. Israel went in outnumbered and didn't realize it. More importantly, Israel went in without the Lord and didn't realize it. Remember Samson? He's messing with Delilah. And she said, tell me how do you get your strength? He said, well, you know, my strength is really in this. And she tried it, didn't work. Well, my strength is in that. She tried it and it didn't work. Finally, he told her, you know, cut my hair off. A vow of a Nazarite. In other words, this hair is symbolic. So she did that, cut his curls. You know, the Bible says, then she yelled, Philistines are upon you, Samson. Just like she yelled every time. And he jumped up and went outside, going to beat him up. And, you know, sadly, the Bible says, but he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord was not with him. He didn't know it. He felt fine. See, Israel's feeling great. They just come off of a major victory. Major victory. We could take this little bitty city. It's a lesson for you and me. The flesh is much stronger than you think. If you underestimate the power of your flesh, you're going to lose the battle. Don't overestimate your own ability and don't underestimate the ability of your opponent. Your flesh, my flesh, our enemy. If your flesh hasn't gotten you in trouble lately, it will. If you're not careful. If you're not in prayer and paying close attention. And you notice that when we sin, we always get to choose to sin because it's a choice we make. We sin when we're drawn away of our own lusts. Right? You get to choose the sin, but do you ever notice you never get to choose the consequences? And the consequences are so miserable. I'm hearing people, Christians, say, I'm considering suicide. And you brought this on yourself. You should have known better. The Word of God warned you. And now you're thinking about killing yourself because it's so hard to deal with. I chose to sin, but I didn't get to pick what happened because of it. And I can't handle what's happening. A lesson for all of us. The flesh is a much stronger opponent than we think.
You had better be prayed up before you head over into Ai. You better ask the Lord how you'll want to deal with this. Maybe the Lord will want you to take the entire army. You'll notice in the next chapter, the Lord says, take the whole army. Take the whole army, Joshua. Oh, don't you wish he would have listened or sought the Lord before? Well, he didn't. There are times when you're doing great in the Lord. We're just walking on sunshine. You know, just about a foot off the ground. God is good. Everything's great. Boy, and then we get blasted. Been there, haven't you? You get blasted and you think, how did I get in this hole? Just because I had a victory yesterday doesn't guarantee me a victory today. Do you get that? Just because you were great and on top of it all, and the Spirit was guiding, and you couldn't be beat there at Jericho, doesn't mean you ought to relax and walk into Ai in your street clothes. The flesh. So, verse 4. There went up there of the people around 3,000 men. Joshua took the advice of the spies that he sent out. They fled before the men of Ai. Those 3,000 attacked and ran away. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even into Shebarim and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They attacked the city. The city attacked back in force and they ran away. They cowered it out. They wimped out. Their hearts melted. They turned and they ran. And the Bible says 36 men were killed. Do you know? 36 Israelite soldiers were killed that day. 36 lives were lost needlessly. It didn't have to happen. And now Achan knows what he's done, doesn't he? Of course he does. You'll see in a moment. Sure he does. He knows he took stuff that wasn't his. That's why you're going to find that he went inside his tent, dug a hole, and buried it under the ground inside his tent. When people are hiding what they're doing, you know there's a problem. Joshua took the advice of those spies and he sent only 300 men to destroy the city. But the opposite happened. Israel was overwhelmed and had to run away. They had to retreat from the soldiers at Ai. 36 Israelite soldiers were put to death. Now listen closely. God had promised victory. He promised. Every place the sole of your foot touches is yours. I've given it to you. Just go get it. Just take it. I'm with you. He promised them victory. They should have had victory, but they did not obey the Lord. When I say they, one counts for everybody. Now you see why it's so hard to do church in the 21st century, because you can't do church discipline. You begin to talk to an individual about the attitude and what they're doing, and it's hurting everybody else, and they're gone. They leave. They're not going to listen to that. They're going to go get another church. And that church will put them in leadership. Put them on the worship team. Put them in there teaching Bible studies. Got a guy and a girl thinking about getting divorced. They go to the other church and they run the couples ministry. No commitment. Not willing to take credit for their own mistakes. God promised them victory. They should have had victory, but they disobeyed. It was only one of them. It was only Achan. But everyone suffered. You think about you stealing and 36 men being put to death for it. You lying, and 36 people lose their lives because you cheated, you lied, you hurt the family. Well, we, you and me, we're the church. It's not a building somewhere. It's not down the road.
We're the church. We are the church. Anybody who is truly born again, living stones, we're the church. And when the church suffers, we all suffer. Did you know that? You see, I've seen people try to commit suicide. And there's one thing I have learned. If you cut your right wrist and you bleed long enough, your left wrist will be dead also. You know that? Well, it takes a while, but it will happen. When there's sin in the camp, it affects the whole church. Everybody doesn't feel it right away. Some people aren't even concerned about it. Let's just go take him in our street clothes. We got this victory. We belong to the Lord. Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. He's talking about the church. We are the body of Christ. Israel is learning this lesson the hard way. Now, we can learn it the easy way, or we can learn it Israel's way too. You can learn it the easy way or the hard way. Look at verse 6. After 36 people were killed, Joshua tore his clothes. It's a sign. That's a sign of grief, sadness, frustration. He tore his clothes. In verse 6, he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord. In other words, in the presence of the Lord, until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads just to show their grief. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say? When Israel runs away or turns their backs before their enemies. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. And shall environ us round, in other words, surround us, cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do unto your great name?" You see who he blames? Do you understand who he blames for the death of those men? He blames God. Have you heard that? When there's a big storm, or when there's a bomb, or when there's a this, or there's a that. And here's what Joshua says. Listen to this language. Just kind of put it in America. He's brokenhearted. He tears his clothing, a sign of grief. He doesn't understand what went wrong. You know, Lord, I know that you said to me, be strong and courageous and go into the land and cross over. And every place your foot touches, the sole of your foot touches, I've given it to you. Be strong and courageous and just go do it. I'm with you. And Joshua was saying, Lord, what's wrong with you? You promised to be with me. What can I say when Israel, your children, actually turn and run away from their enemies? What can I say? Did you bring us all this way to destroy us? He says, I wish now we would never cross the Jordan. Is he whining or what? Yeah, this is called wah. He's pegging the wah meter. He's whining. I wish we'd have stayed, went to God. We would have stayed on the other side. I don't like it over here. This is hard. What are you doing, Lord? What's wrong? I thought you said victory was ours. You said be strong. You said be courageous. I was. Lord, you let us down. If you're such a loving God, how could you have let this happen? Lord. This thing's not going to quit moving. It just won't quit moving. Must be a big angel, heavy angel sitting on it.
If you're such a loving God, how could you let this happen to us? All right, come on, Christian. You don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever prayed it? Have you ever been there? Lord, what's wrong with you? You said, and I'm doing your will, and Lord, where were you, Lord, when the soldiers of Ai killed 36 of your children? You sent us in this land. You're the one that said, go fight the battles and will you be with us? Lord, where were you when they were being chased by the soldiers, chased down and killed? Lord, you let us down. Oh, and by the way, Lord, your own reputation is in real question right now too. Your name. People are going to laugh. You better do something. I know when you read through his prayer and see what he's saying, you've probably felt that way, even if you never prayed those exact words. You probably did. Like it's something's wrong with God. And I hear it. I get to hear it often. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Oh, I heard Saul say that so many times. I'm obeying God. Samuel says, well, God said kill everything, didn't he? Yeah, and I did. Well, how come I hear those sheep? Okay, all right, we didn't kill those sheep, but we saved those to sacrifice them to God. I hear oxen, too. I hear them lowing. Well, okay, yeah, but we saved the best so we could sacrifice them to God. But God said kill everything. I did. Saul, you didn't. Yes, I did. Saul, you need to wake up. Christian. Israel. Are we listening to the Lord and to his word? No, it's not about works. No, you can still be born again. I know everybody's scared. No, grace through faith. Yes, but aren't we supposed to be walking in the Spirit? Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Self. Your reputation's ruined, God. People are going to laugh now. They'll surround us, and that's going to drag your name through it, God. You know, like, this is your fault. I don't know what you were thinking. Whatever you were thinking, this is probably going to come back to haunt you, God. In verse 10, look at God's response. It's great. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying there upon your face? I wouldn't answer that, Josh. Here's what the original language says literally. Stand up. What are you doing down there on your face? Literally, stop whining. It's a little late to be praying now. In other words, what are you doing on your face now? You should have been on your face before me, before you sent 3,000 in there. Because I would have told you, there's sin in the camp. I am not pleased. Take care of the sin and we'll be, everything will be great. But Josh, wrong, you missed it, man. You ought to be up and you ought to be taking care of the situation. God's not being hard on Joshua, I don't think. As some people count. Toughness. He's being God. He's saying, Joshua, had you prayed, none of this would have happened. It's not my fault. I told you before you entered the land, if you disobey, you would receive discipline. Well, we learn an important lesson here. I've said it earlier, but let me repeat myself. Yesterday's victory does not make me immune from today's defeat. Do you understand that, Christian? In other words, today is a day I should pray. I should be in the Word. I should seek the Lord for His will and His direction. Think about this. Abraham heard from the Lord. And the Lord said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on a place I will show you. What if Abraham never listened again till he returned back home?
You see, Abraham had to be continually listening to the Lord, because it was on that mountaintop, that land called Mount Moriah, there on Calvary, that the Abraham raised up that knife to plunge into the heart of his son, and the Lord said, don't do it. Aren't you glad Abraham was listening still? And then we catch ourselves. Well, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, the Lord told me to do this. Okay, are you listening closely? He may have said, now that you've headed this far, okay, take a left right here. And if you're not listening, you're not going to make that left, and you're going to be upset, and you're going to say, God, you said, how about what? Wait a minute. God says to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? It's time now to be dealing with the sin. You should have been praying all along. Yesterday's victory does not make a believer or me or you immune from today's defeat. Israel has sinned. God says the entire nation has sinned. Even though it's only one man, God says Israel is in sin. We don't like to take the responsibility for our brothers and sisters. Am I my brother's keeper? You know the answer to that question. When God says to Cain, where's your brother? Hey, am I my brother's keeper? The answer God would have said, yeah, and I want to know where he is. His blood is crying out from the ground there. Cain, what have you done? See, there's sin in the camp, General Joshua. Someone has taken some of the spoils. I'll read it to you in verse 11 again so you remember what we're talking about. Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Somebody lied, cheated, stole, and they're hiding it, and I am not going to bless that. You need to take care of that, Commander Joshua. You're in charge. If you expect to win any battles, you need to get rid of sin. There's sin in the camp. Someone has taken the spoils of Jericho. They've stolen it. They've lied about it. They're even hiding it in their own stuff. Notice how much God sees. Everything. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. God knows. Why do you think we try to keep it from him and then justify it? Well, I didn't talk to her because she's weird. Well, I know so-and-so wanted to, was there, but you know what? I was in a hurry. And we sort of justify the different things that we shouldn't be doing, but there's a good excuse for them, God. I'm sure Achan, had he not been drawn out and singled out, he would have probably had good excuses for what he did. The trouble is he got singled out and it was too late. See, we can't slip anything past God. And look at verse 12. God says, here's what you need to do. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand, or that's why the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with, underline this, neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. How would you feel? Joshua, I brought you into the land, but you guys have lied, cheated, and stolen, so I will not take you any further. You're on your own. Unless you deal with this sin. The sin must be judged. Those things must be, and the devoted things destroyed. Now notice, General Joshua has no idea that this sin has taken place. He didn't know. So the Lord tells him, you didn't know. So here's what needs to happen. You need to take care of this now, or I will not be with you. I will not give you victory. I will not, as long as the people remain in disobedience. Excuse me. Up, verse 13. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves, against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel,
There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Joshua told that to all the people. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord takes shall come house by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Oh my goodness, do you hear that? The Lord says to Joshua, here's what needs to be done. Have the people consecrate themselves. In other words, prepare themselves, get themselves ready. Let them know that they will have no victory over any of their enemies until the sin in the camp is removed, taken care of. So gather all the people together and I will expose the guilty. First, the guilty tribe, then the guilty clan, then the guilty family, then the guilty individual. So you just think about it now. Just give it a little bit of thought. Joshua goes back, talks to all the people. He's a little bit upset because he's just gotten a little bit of trouble. He realizes that his part should have been in prayer and he missed it. 36 people have died. The army of Israel, about 3,000 of them, ran away. The battle was a mockery. So Joshua says to the people, the Lord says, get yourselves ready. Early tomorrow morning, we're going to all get up and the Lord is going to show us who sinned. How do you think Achan slept? If at all. How do you think he slept? Wouldn't you have thought that he would have the nation not go through all this? He knows he's guilty. He knows he's the one. Wouldn't you think, instead of putting the entire nation, you're looking at a few million people. This is going to take a long time. Wouldn't you think that he would humble himself and come forward and say, Commander Joshua, there's no need to look through everybody. I'll confess. Wouldn't you think that the guy would do that? Or the girl or whoever was guilty? No. He goes through the night, probably miserably. He's probably stressing. You talk about anxiety attacks. You talk about a little stress. You talk about heart palpitations. You talk about a little bit of sweat. Maybe thinking he's got a fever, or now he's cold. I don't know what he must have gone through, but that guy had to be miserable. Look at verse 16. So Joshua rose up early. Well, it's going to take a long time. You're looking at a couple million people. Early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken out of the 12. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. He brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. You can't hide it from God. Joshua doesn't know who it is. Most of the people don't know who it is, but I know something you don't know. Because I read a little further in the chapter. His family knows he did it. His wifey and all the chitlins, them liars, they know he did it. I don't think any of them slept that well, except the little kids. They didn't understand what's going on. So he was taken. You know, you just don't run into your house in the tent, dig a big hole, stick things under it. Your wife comes and goes, "Where's that? What's that mound doing in the living room here?" No, they all knew. Well, the clan of the Zerahites, the tribe of Judah was found guilty. Clan of the Zerahites guilty. The family of Zimri guilty family. And the guilty man brought forward
Achan. He sure could have saved everybody a lot of pain and a lot of grief. But self was determined to hide until God had to bring it out. Numbers 32:23. You know you've heard it before. If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. God has ways of bringing it out publicly. So you can always go to the Lord right now, privately, and confess. Because, you know, of the grace, we're told, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, but we have this tendency to wait until we're caught. And usually that's why we're sorry. We're not sorry we did it. We're sorry, you know. Many, many people that go to prison, that's exactly their testimony. I wasn't sorry I murdered. I'm really sorry you figured out that I did. And then they always try to get a lighter sentence by apologizing to the family. Sorry, dudes. Achan, you know, what a mess. So what's going to happen to him? Well, the Bible says he's going to have to be stoned to death and then burned. Going to have to be killed and then burned up. Hate that when that happens. Verse 19 says, Joshua said to Achan, my son, or literally, if you want, young man, because Joshua is now up in his 80s. Give, I pray thee, verse 19 says, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Don't hide it from me. In other words, we know you're guilty. The Lord has shown us you're guilty. What'd you do? Come clean. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them. I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the middle of my tent, and the silver's under that. Don't you find it pitiful that Achan went through this whole process knowing he was guilty and still letting everybody have to go through this frustration? Knowing it was his guilt, never saying a word until he was caught. And then he said, yeah, I'm guilty. Wouldn't you think, after the tribe was chosen, out of a few million people, it's narrowed down to one tribe out of 12, Judah. Wouldn't you think then, they got me. I know they got me. They got me. He didn't think so. Wouldn't you think that when it came down to the clan? Wouldn't you think that when it came down to the family? Notice how self can destroy. Remember, the battle was lost from within, not from without. What does Jesus tell us? If any man, any person, will, chooses to come after me, let that person first deny self. One of the biggest enemies you and I have, self. It's going to get us if we underestimate its power. Well, I think about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember in Acts chapter 5? They had some property. It was theirs, but Barnabas sold his. And he gave all the money to the church. And people were thinking, whoa, dude, Barnabas, what a guy. And Ananias and Sapphira thought, oh, we're pretty holy too, you know. It's just people don't notice it. So they sold a piece of property. Kept back, hid, in other words, some of the money. It was all theirs. They could have kept it all. Brought back a little bit, brought to the church a little bit of the money and said, here's what we sold the house for, the property, and here's all the money.
Is that all that you made? Wow, that's really, what a blessing. They, oh yeah, yeah, and that's all. And they were lying to God. Remember Peter said, oh, Ananias, why has Satan put it into your heart to lie to God? You can't lie to God. And so Ananias fell down dead, slain in the spirit. Remember that? About 3 hours later, here comes Sapphira. You would have thought something's bothering her. She could come clean. She could get out of this really easy. Tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Ananias, your husband, said you guys sold some stuff and for this amount of money. Is that true? All she would have to say is, no, that's the amount we wanted to give, but the actual amount was a little different. She didn't even have to tell him how much. She said, yep, that's the amount. Aren't we holy? Isn't that something? She fell down dead. Peter said, you lied to God. The feet that buried your husband are at the door. They'll carry you out now. You can picture those guys sweating, going, another one, dragging this woman out. See how important it is to God. Joshua says to Achan, you might as well confess. Why don't you just do the right thing? Tell the truth. You've been found out. What have you done? Achan said, yes, I sinned. Listen closely. I saw, I coveted, and I took. Isn't that great language? Does he sound like Eve or what? Go back and read Genesis chapter 3. You'll be amazed. I saw, I wanted it, and so I took it. And I know it's sin. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. I saw, I coveted, I took it. He said, I took a beautiful Babylonian robe. That thing would have probably been woven with some silver or gold. They were usually priceless, super expensive, even more expensive than a pair of shoes in America today. Way up there. Took 200 shekels of silver. Do you realize that's about 5 pounds? Do you realize that's just a little over, in today's money, $400? Took a 50 shekel wedge of gold. That's about 11 pounds. In today's money, a little over $100,000. So he took a lot of stuff. They were buried under his tent, which means his family knew. They hid it, but they knew. Look at verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it, just like he said. Sure enough, there it was. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua, and all unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Lord, here's the stuff, the stolen stuff. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his donkeys and his oxen, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had, they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? You caused the lives of 36 good men. All for your own greed. Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones, burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. They checked, and sure enough, it was hidden under his tent. So they brought it out, laid it before the Lord. Joshua, the commander, rebuked him and said, you know, because of you, 36 of our brothers are dead. You've troubled us. You won't trouble us anymore. They took him and his family and all that he owned and put them to death and burned his belongings. Even buried the gold and silver and all that. His family were accomplices. How can I be sure? Because they put him to death. And the law in Deuteronomy 24:16 says that's the way it's got to be.
Listen, Deuteronomy 24:16. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. That tells you and I, because they put his family to death as well, his family were accomplices, his wife and kids. And so they took all his stuff and destroyed it. And be sure your sin will find you out. So they call it the Valley of Achor. Achor, the word means trouble. Just a simple word, trouble. And so they named it the Valley of Trouble. And the Lord was once again with his children. His anger was turned away. Notice how important to God is his word. I'm hearing a lot today goes something like this. We've got God's Holy Spirit. We've got power. We make our own decisions. You know what? We've got God's Holy Spirit so that we won't make our own decisions. His Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, knows the will of the Father. And His Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us. I think people are very confused today. Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You know, that Achan is a great example of that to us so that we can learn. The wise thing to do is to go before the Lord always. Go before the Lord. Get these things taken care of. Because each one of us, as we walk through this world, there are times when we get our feet dirty. Isn't that true? Times when we find ourselves having wandered off a path that the Lord has set for our feet. We recognize it. We should immediately be confessing and crying out to God and saying this or that. But many times what we do is we start to justify the reason we're not obeying. Well, I'm hurt. No one understands me. I'm tired. No one really appreciates all that I'm about. And then like Achan, we drag a lot of people through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. Go to God is what we're learning. Get it all straightened out. When we confess our sin to Him, turn our sins over, that's when we experience joy, the Bible says. That's when we experience real peace. And the joy that Jesus promised, that's important. And the peace God promised, that's important. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Well, Christian, many of us are Christians, truly belong to God, but the truth is we need to remain in fellowship. You see, He won't take your salvation away. I think clearly in Scripture, He's not going to take your salvation away. But you'll notice the fellowship is, the communion is interrupted. You notice it. You notice there's a distance. And we're justifying it by saying, well, that's He treats me this way. That's how I treat Him. Kind of like the way Samson did. They did this to me. That's what I did to them. Hold it. That's not the Lord. The Lord says, love those that are your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Pray for them. Love them. If your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. They're hungry, feed them. You know, heap coals of fire on their head. Well, how much more would we do that to a brother or sister in the family? If that's how you would treat an enemy, you think you'd treat a brother or sister at least that well. Pray about these things. Go back and read the chapter. Make sure it says all that. What a good lesson for us. We can learn from Achan, and we don't have to do it the hard way ourselves. We can learn from his folly here. Let's bow our heads. Lord,